Good morning. Welcome to those in the room and those on the call to the Volution Group 2018 results presentation. You should find in front of you a copy of what we'll go through this morning, and I'll try and direct you to the right pages as we go along. We won't use all of the pages in the deck, but starting on page one, I don't think there's any need for introduction, but what we'll take you through today is some highlights. Ian will take you through the financial review. I'll come back as standard and talk a little bit about business update and outlook. At the end, we'll do the Q&A. Of course, equally as we go along, if there are any burning issues or points that you want to sort of bring up at the time, then please feel free to do so. What we'll do is we'll go straight to page four and just the headlines. Revenue growth in the year was 11.1%, and our adjusted EPS was up 6.6%. What we try to do here is just remind you of our three strategic pillars and how we performed against each of those three strategic pillars in the year. Pillar one, organic growth in our core markets. Our organic revenue growth at the constant currency measure was 2.4%. Good constant currency organic growth. We'll talk a little bit more about our new factory in Reading, which is absolutely an investment to underpin further organic growth. We made some really good progress in our German business with some new product innovations, particularly around what we call the Xenium fan, and I'll cover that in a little bit more detail later on. A further extension of our public housing range of products for the U.K. market. Pillar number two, growth through a disciplined and value-adding acquisition strategy. Inorganic revenue growth of 8.3%, but in actual fact, as you'll see in a moment, the four acquisitions that we made in the year were pretty much all in the second half of the year. Simx in New Zealand in March, but the next three acquisitions and meaningfully Voipamon in Finland and Air Connection Denmark were both made in July. In respect of Torin Sifan, we're improving the product range and the customer base. Organic growth was 1.8% at constant currency. We're delighted about the take-up of the new highly efficient EC fans. I'll talk a little bit more about that later on under Torin. We've made more investment in the capacity, which we think will underpin faster organic growth in this new financial year. Over the page, just in respect to the acquisitions, four acquisitions in the year. From our perspective, we think we've significantly changed our geographic profile. Simx we acquired in March 2018. Simx are the market leader for residential ventilation in New Zealand. They've worked with us for over 30 years, promoting our Manrose brand, and we have an exceptionally strong leading position in residential ventilation in New Zealand. Already we've started to introduce some new products from within the group. Airfan was a smaller acquisition. It was more about route to market access to distribution in the Netherlands. Voipamon in Finland in July. That's a leading manufacturer of heat recovery systems for mainly the commercial but also the residential market. Has a leading position in a market that in many respects is more late cycle recovery. We're delighted about how that business is performing very early on, and it gives us a greater product competence to use across the wider Nordic space. Air Connection, another business that we've known for some time. Air Connection is a leading product supplier in the Danish market. It's been promoting our Ventaxia brand in that market for some time, and we're delighted to have Air Connection under our wing. Four acquisitions in the year. We'll talk a little bit more about them later on. In the meantime, what I'll do is hand over to Ian just to take you through the financial highlights and the numbers.
Morning, everybody. Very pleased to be able to say we've got another year of growth in revenue and adjusted earnings. I'll take you through the charts we have here and then some of the financial slides later on. Revenue up to 205.7 million. That's a 20.6 million improvement. Mainly as a result of the acquisitions, 8.3% of that growth was inorganic, but still a creditable 2.4% of constant currency coming from our organic side of the business. We like that trend on that chart. We're showing average growth over that period compounded of 15% per annum, which is absolutely in line with our target. Adjusted operating profit, 37.1 million, 1.5 million better than last year, growth of 4.1%. Adjusted operating profit margin, as expected, down on last year, 18%. That's about where we expected it to be. The margin dilution as a consequence of basically three things. The effect of acquired businesses that we buy at a lower margin than the group average. Widely publicized before by us has been our input cost inflation in the UK, largely as a consequence of the dollar and GBP exchange rate movements, and a decline in public RMI revenue. And public RMI is a very profitable sector of our business, and a decline there has us disproportionately on the margin. Adjusted EPS, 0.9p better than last year, 6.6% increase. Adjusted operating cash flow, we're actually very pleased with that result, 34.4 million adjusted operating cash inflow, slightly lower than last year. Last year was exceptionally good. Particularly pleased with the way the second half went there, because that result is better than the first half of the year. That's a cash conversion of 90%. Last year was 99%. We've spent a considerable bit more on the capital expenditure relating to our new factory relocation, and that's impacted that number. Net debt, 77.2 million, an increase of 40.2 million, largely as a consequence of the four acquisitions that we made in the second half of the year, where we spent a net of cash and debt acquired, we spent about 50 million. Leverage on that net debt position was 1.9 times our EBITDA in the last 12 months. If you pro forma in the EBITDA from the recent acquisitions, it's more like 1.7 times. And just to remind you, we listed at 1.5. So I'd like to think that we've had all of that growth with very little increase in our underlying leverage. If I can direct you to page 9, I've got some more financial highlights here in tabular form with some bullet points. I'm going to try and avoid repeating myself, so I'll skip some of these issues and just pull out the new stuff for you. Adjusted profit before tax, 35.8 million, an increase of 1.2 million over prior year. Reported profit before tax, 16.7, a decline of 1.2 million over prior year. Largely, you would say, as a consequence of the exceptional costs that we've had this year, and they primarily relate to the relocation of our factory premises into New Reading. I've got a more detailed analysis of the gap between the adjusted and reported profit before tax figure in a later slide, so I can come back to that. Adjusted diluted EPS, 14.5p, as I already said, 6.6% growth, compared to an improvement in our proposed dividend of 7%, so in line with our increase in earnings up to 4.44p per share. One final point I'd like to mention on this slide is that in the first half of the year, we've refinanced our bank facilities. We now have a revolving credit facility of 120 million, multi-currency, maturing in December 2021. In addition to that, we have a 30 million accordion that we can call on. On page 10, a little bit more detail on the income statement. Again, trying not to repeat myself. Gross profit, 96.6 million. An improvement of 5.6 million over prior year, 6.1% improvement. The gross margin, however, for the reasons we've already discussed, decreased by 2.2 percent points to 47. The reason I mentioned earlier is the higher input costs in the UK currency, the disruption to manufacturing because of the move to Reading, and a decline in the public RMI profitable sector in the UK. Adjusted net finance costs up slightly because of the higher borrowings in the second half of the year. An adjusted tax charge on those adjusted earnings of 7 million. Slightly down on last year. We've got a lower rate of tax in the UK, which still represents a considerable part of our business. We also have some in-box credits that we're getting. We'll get them every year now, but they've just kicked in for the first year this year. And a reassessment of some deferred tax assets, which gave us a benefit. So adjusted profit after tax at the bottom of that table, 28.8 million, 6.5% better than prior year, 1.7 million benefit. As I promised on page 11, you can see the reconciliation between our adjusted profit before tax of 35.8 million and our reported profit before tax of 16.7. Exceptional costs are 6.4 million. There's an analysis in the table immediately below showing that of that 6.4 million, 1.4 related to acquisition costs and 5 million related to the reorganization of our UK ventilation business, the bulk of which relates to the movement of our factory into our new facility in Reading. In the first half also, so we've already reported this, the 1.5 million release of provision for contingent consideration relating to the Voltaire acquisition that wasn't required. They didn't hit the targets that they were anticipating. And the net gain on financial instruments at fair value. That's just a balance sheet revaluation. Uncrystallized gains or losses we don't recognize in our adjusted profit before tax. It's relating to the hedges that we have for primarily our US dollar exposure. Unamortized loan issue costs written off. We refinanced in the first half. This is the unamortized portion of the financing costs that we incurred at our previous refinancing in 15. And the big number there, the amortization of acquired intangibles, 14.7 million. These acquired intangibles, we recognize them on acquisition of a new business, amortize them through the income statement. It's not cash. We've already spent the cash when we bought the business. On page 12, what I still call the balance sheet, I have to say, just a couple of points to mention here. The non-current assets increased significantly by 36.4 million. The issue here is the acquisitions that we made in the year. You can see it's the goodwill that's increased significantly. And our working capital. Working capital performance in the first half of the year was not as good as we'd expected. It improved significantly to a point at the end of the year where our working capital represented 11.3% of revenue. And that's perfectly normal for us. We've been better, we've been worse. That's a good result. On the final financial slide that I've got, on page 13, our cash flow summary and net debt bridge. We started the year with 37 million of net debt, and we generated adjusted operating cash flow of 4.4 million. That's after movements in working capital. Our working capital increased by 0.9 million. And after capital expenditure of 6.3. The capital expenditure, 6.3, is considerably higher than prior years. I've already mentioned that that's as a consequence of some of the work that we did moving into our new facility in Reading. So on that adjusted operating cash flow, what did we do with it? Interest, 0.9 million. Income tax paid, 8.9 million, an increase over last year. Exceptional items, cash outflow on that was 6 million. Dividend we've increased from 7.9 to 8.5 million, and we've got an adjustment to the value of our sterling value of our foreign loans and cash, which goes in to reduce our net debt in this case by 1.6 million. Issue costs on new borrowings relating to the refinancing in the first half of the year, and the 51 million that we spent on new acquisitions in the second half, you can see there. That's net of any debt that we acquired and cash that we acquired in those businesses. So closing net debt, 77.2 million. I remind you that's about 1.7 times the EBITDA pro forma ratio. And just finally, to summarize, continuing revenue growth, we're very happy about. Continuing adjusted earnings growth, we're very happy about, 6.6%. And back to a strong cash generation position for the year. So unless you have any questions, I'll hand you back to Ron.
Excellent. Thank you, Ian. Just on page 15 now, I particularly like the slide, the chart at the bottom right. And just to remind you, our strategy over time is to grow organically, which we've consistently done every year, not just since we've listed, but also in my 7 years as the CEO of the group. And we have doubled the size of the business in the last 5 years. Just to make the point again, as Ian explained to you, we came to market 1.5 times leverage. We had a pro forma 1.7 times at the end of the last financial year. And so we're on great track. And that, you know, that's been consistent organic growth every year. We're sort of disappointed with 2.4% organic growth in FY18. I'm sure there's plenty around who wouldn't be disappointed with that. I think that's the point there, is that the group has changed markedly in the last 4 or 5 years. We're now with more than 50% of our revenue that's not UK. Hopefully that doesn't matter, but I don't think anybody really knows at this stage, and we're back to the sort of Brexit debate. But certainly having over 50% of our revenue non-UK, we think gives us quite a decent geographic spread, and we're very happy, not just happy in the sense of the sort of hedge to UK risks, if indeed there are any, but also the fact that the ventilation space is quite niche, and for us to grow materially over time, we can't just grow in the UK market. I remind you, and we'll go through the slides in a moment, that our residential market share in the UK is circa 40% plus, and so the opportunity to grow markedly in the UK, and certainly by acquisition, is a little bit more limited. The next few slides take you through more detail there, and there is quite intimate detail about each of those market areas. And I'd just like to touch on a number of points that we go through. Overall, our growth is 2.4%, and it was a mix of various growth rates. The top line there, UK residential, or sorry, in the detail, the UK residential new build, 25.6 million of revenue, 13.1% all organic growth, a market-leading proposition, and I do genuinely believe now that we're starting to do what I always hoped we would, and to put some clear sort of water, daylight between us and the next competition. We are the number one. We've done exceptionally well. There is a regulatory tailwind with respect to residential new systems. We think the outlook for residential new build in the UK is still okay. We don't believe that we're about to stop building houses, and certainly we expect another year of very good growth. We are an innovator in that space. We have a leading proposition. We have an excellent service, and the regulatory tailwinds are continuing. I don't need to go into intimate detail about them, but they're very much to do with, you know, carbon emissions has come up again quite a lot over the weekend in terms of global warming. Our regulations generally favour our technology every year, and that's set to continue year on, year out. In UK commercial revenue, I think the market is a little bit more challenging. Our performance organically was a 3.6% decline. That's more to do with RMI. We had some small growth from the inorganic piece. That's the acquisition drag from the prior year. Our position in UK commercial is not so strong in terms of definitely being the leader in residential. We're probably in the number three, number four bucket when it comes to UK commercial. UK residential RMI, we split that into two parts. Overall, it was a disappointing organic decline of 2.5%. In actual fact, in private RMI, we grew 3.3%. And in actual fact, we should have grown more quickly. And I'll come on to the factory rationalisation at Reading a little bit later on. But that stopped us from growing faster, certainly in the second half of the year. We have a leading position in residential, private and public RMI in the UK market. We have a number of brands that we position very carefully at the different price points. And in actual fact, I would say now we're starting to leverage those brands from a pricing perspective a little bit more appropriately and a little bit more aggressively with greater success, certainly in the last couple of months. Public RMI declined 10.6%. It's still very, very difficult, not for any reasons that that we can't relate to. But if you're a social housing provider at the moment, your critical focus is on fire safety and cladding, and I don't need to go into the reasons why. That's likely to continue, but it can't continue forever. Ventilation is very important, particularly as you make social housing dwellings more airtight. You have to ventilate over time. It is impossible to have a public housing dwelling that's well insulated that's not ventilated. And so it's a market that we believe in. It's been very challenging, but we do have a leading position. We have added to the portfolio, and in actual fact, we're expanding our margins in that space, even though we're having a revenue decline, certainly in the short term. Our UK exports were extremely strong, 20% organic growth, 21% organic growth. There's a little bit of a one-off with Japan, a spares order that we talked about that doesn't, I say it doesn't repeat again this year. It does, but not to the same extent. But our exports from the UK are very strong. The Irish economy is going well. And again, as we lead the UK market with residential new build systems, we lead the Irish market. Our market share in Ireland for residential new build systems is probably even higher than it is in the UK. We've won some strong projects recently. House building in Ireland feels as if it's more robust than on the previous occasion. I think it's centred around the right things this time round. And we have an excellent situation in Ireland, which we expect to continue. There's some other new accounts in export that we acquired in the year. I don't need to go into a lot of detail there, but a very strong year. And again, a strong year on a prior year that was good for our export growth in the UK. And just, we put a couple of helpful pies on this chart. So what it shows you now is UK Ventilation Group is 47.6% of our revenue. And inside our revenue, 38 million of our 110 million in the UK is RMI. And inside that, about a third of our UK residential RMI revenue is public. And I guess it's one of the issues I'm keen to get across, because sometimes I think it gets lost, is that Volution is more than just an RMI play. And I think this slide demonstrates it very clearly. And it's definitely not a public RMI play, although we are keen to turn that market sector around in the future. Nordics revenue, 36.7 million, organic growth 2.9%, some really good inorganic growth. So, of course, go back 5-6 years ago, we had no revenue in the Nordics. On a sort of pro forma basis, we have circa 50 million of revenue. We have a strong position in those markets. We have very attractive operating margins, and there's still plenty for us to do. We like the space. It is, from a regulatory perspective, very well underpinned, and the acquisition that we made of Oy Pamon more recently, an air connection in Denmark, we have some great brands and some great product portfolios that will set about moving across those different market geographies during the course of the next 12 months. So, very pleased about the Nordics, and quite a lot of integration going on where we're on the same ERP system, save for the two acquisitions that we made more recently. Those will go onto the same ERP system over the next 3 to 4 months. Again, 21% of the group's overall turnover, if you pro forma the sort of exit position with the acquisitions at the end of last year. Central Europe, for us, that's Belgium, Netherlands, and Germany. Organic growth was just 1%, but actually the earnings growth in Central Europe was much greater than that. And if I explain, in Belgium and Netherlands, I would say there's a little bit of tidying up going on. We've owned Ventilair now in Belgium and Netherlands for 3 years. And what we've been doing in Belgium and Netherlands is reshaping, reprofiling the products that we sell to be much more centered around what the group does. And the reason for that is it provides us a substantial increase in our gross margins. And we've been working on that, and we've also been working on increasing our access to both the distribution markets in Belgium and Netherlands. Very small bolt-on of Airfan that we immediately renamed to Ventaxia. And we're promoting the Ventaxia brand in the Netherlands quite aggressively now, and we're getting really good traction in our focus on electrical wholesale distribution and merchants in the Dutch market. A whole raft of new products that we are launching, launched at the end of last year, and we'll be launching through these coming months, primarily under the Ventaxia brand, and very excited about that space. In the Netherlands in particular, the regulations, unlike in the UK, quite to our frustration, and disappointment, but the regulations in the UK are also promoting in RMI, more energy efficiency in RMI. And we would think of ourselves, you won't see it in here, but you'll see in our annual report and accounts, that we talk about 54% of our revenue being made up of what we call low carbon products. And so the sort of tailwind of regulations and what we're doing in terms of access to market in the Netherlands makes that quite exciting for us. In Germany, we are the number two in what we call decentralized heat recovery products. I'm confident with the number one in terms of product portfolio. It doesn't look very interesting on this slide. You'll see some other pictures in the annual report and accounts. But we've been working on a change in the motor technology in Germany for the last 4 years. We had a breakthrough in the second half of last year with the Xenion range. We're getting, we have to the new DIN standard in Germany, the only product that meets the new pressure test for decentralized heat recovery that will be a massive play for us as we go forward. And it was also a very significant cost out. Our gross margins in Germany are the highest that we deliver anywhere in the group now. They were last year, and they'll further improve this year as a result of the cost out and the performance improvement. So very pleased about Germany. I think that last year was a good year. I think this year will be better still. That's sort of Europe, if you like, for ventilation. We come on to Australasia. And I certainly missed the spot, as it were, when we announced the acquisition of Simex. I felt that people would immediately understand the strategic logic for the acquisition, but I realized that we probably didn't explain very well what was it about. In New Zealand, Simex have over a 40%, probably close to 50% market share in residential RMI. The solutions used in that market are very similar in terms of extractor fans and so forth that we sell successfully in the UK. You'll see that the gross margins are very similar to what we deliver in the UK, and the products are under the Manrose brand, and quite a few of them manufactured by our manufacturing capability in the UK. But the logic there was that we have a leading brand, Manrose, one that we own. We have a route to market that's very similar to what we know very well in the UK, and we have an ability, because of course that's what we've been doing in Volution over the last 5 or 6 years, is upselling the proposition. And if you think as a consumer or a user of ventilation, and I always say this, why would anyone want a noisy, ugly extractor fan when actually we sell quiet ones and ones that are aesthetically a little bit more attractive for a very significant premium? And that's the play here in New Zealand, in Australasia. Lee Nurse, who was the group product and marketing director, has been in New Zealand for 6 months. We're launching a whole raft of new products. We've launched the Genius fan, which is the first app-controlled fan in that market. And we're delighted about the proposition, and it was a perfect fit. And actually, it's not so far away. Yes, it is. It takes 24 hours to get there. But with Skype and communications, I've already had dialogue with the guys in New Zealand this morning. I saw their sales for yesterday. It's not as far away as people might think. So this is not, for us, out of kilter. It is absolutely a platform for further inorganic growth in the region. We are currently a manufacturer of a whole raft of OEM products for a number of people who supply into the Australian market. We much prefer not to be an OEM provider, but to be with our own brands in the space. And so this is a compelling acquisition. It's going very well, and it's actually quite low maintenance from my perspective in terms of running it day to day. That's the ventilation business so far. I'd like to come on to what we call our OEM segment in SIFAN. I was disappointed with organic growth of only 1.8%. What you can't see is the increase in sales internally, and that's certainly that's starting to grow momentum now. The motorized impeller that Torin have perfected, it is the most efficient motorized impeller that goes into heat recovery devices, is exactly that. It goes inside our fast-growing heat recovery in the UK. It goes into a whole raft of companies in the UK market and overseas, and we expect Torin to grow much faster organically this year. It's still 10% of the group's revenue, and it will grow fast organically as we go forward. So this motor was late. You know, we've talked about it in the past, but the proposition is delivered, the capacity is installed. We're making some other small modifications to balancing and so forth on the line, but this will be a much more exciting year for Torin, both internally, as it captures a larger portion of our internal business, but also externally as well, where it has a really very strong performance in terms of the motor.